as we just entertain this presence, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning I want to speak on the topic, who is the author? Who's the author? Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God. I thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can just feel the moving of your Spirit in this place, God. Pray, speak to my heart. Let it be, Lord Jesus, fertile soil, God. Lord God, that the word would grow in me, Lord Jesus. The word of God would, Lord Jesus, just penetrate the hardened places, God, and soften my heart, God. Lord God, I can grow in you, that I can grow closer to you, God. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Today, let's ponder the beautiful truth that our lives are a story written by God. Psalm 139:16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Our life is a divine narrative authored by the Creator himself. Each of us has a unique story full of chapters that include joy, sorrow, triumph, and trials. Sometimes we may find ourselves in a difficult chapter wondering what comes next, but remember, God is the master storyteller. He knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. In every plot, twist, and turn, God is weaving a tapestry of grace and purpose. When you face uncertainty or hardship, trust that the author of your story is faithful. He has written a plan for you that is good, filled with hope and a future. Embrace each day as a new page in your story. Seek God's guidance. Let him direct your steps. Your story is part of his greater narrative, one that ultimately points to his love and redemption. So live your story with faith and courage, knowing that God, the ultimate author, holds the pen. I got some amens. That was a good message. Some powerful words. Scripture used. Clear message. Even a challenge given. You would think it was a few thoughts inspired by the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you? Uh-oh. I think some of you just realized. Wait a minute. Yeah, who's the author of that? For those who've been around a little bit, does it sound like my words? God is weaving a tapestry of grace and purpose. Man, if I could write like that, that would be amazing. Not quite. Is it a blog I just found and I'm using? No. Is it sermons.com that I downloaded this morning because I forgot I was speaking? Who's the author? Who's the author? I got some amens, and you actually amened AI. Artificial intelligence. That's right, ChatGPT. If you haven't heard of it, it's an AI application. I typed in the following. Give me a one-minute sermon about our lives being a story. If you want more King James Version, I didn't have time, so I did it, but I didn't want to read it. But you just say, make it more King James-ish. And it adds some haths and these and thous. I said, make it more churchy. And there was like, hallelujah in there. And like, it's hilarious. It's not God, not the Holy Spirit, not a blog, not a pastor, not Pastor Phil. It was AI. a computer program, if you will, designed to be the author of our sought-after questions. With the power of ChatGPT, you too can write great sermons. That's a lesson this morning. Fake your way through. Artificial intelligence aside, it's not wrong. The amens were actually appropriate. Amen. Our lives are a story. Our elders can see this much clearer than those who are just getting going, or how life is a story full of, like it said, chapters that outline our lives. The pertinent question in our story is, who's the author? Who is authoring our lives? Who has written the chapters of our lives up to this point, and who is writing our current chapter? Who's the author? King David was known as a psalmist because of how many psalms he wrote, and he said this in Psalms 139, 13 to 16, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Paul in Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." For each one of us, it started with God. He is the author of our lives. Scripture says that he knew us before we had lived even one day. It says that he made us fearfully, wonderfully. I talked about this on a Wednesday night back in May when I went through Psalms 139. I encourage us to embrace how God made us, even those of us who have a lot of quirks. Some of us more than others. Someone laugh so I don't keep trying to joke. Ha ha. Thank you. Thank you, dear. That was perfect. Now I can move on. We are God's workmanship, the product of his masterful working. God is the author of our very existence. In case you're wondering, none of the rest of this is ChatGPT, so okay. Some of you are like, he doesn't really say that word either. But that's where his hand stops writing. Unless we choose him going forward as our author. In our formative years, we don't do much choosing. Our stories are written by our environment, our family, our upbringing. For myself, I was born in the country of Greece. My parents were missionaries for 40-plus years. As a kid, that's all I knew. I have had folks throughout the years say, "Whoa, that must have been amazing, being born in Greece and living in Greece." And honestly, I just have to be like, I guess. Because it's not like I had a masterful plan to say, ha, 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 I'm going to be born in Greece, I'm going to choose them. No, that's who I was born to. I don't remember ever choosing. It's all I knew. I had no say as a minor on where or when and how. But if I begin to look at my life back in there were certain things as a child, certain chapters of my story that were being written, and I was choosing who the author was, even as a kid. When my parents, we were deputizing, going through the states, church to church, raising funds, it was my choice to sleep under the pew. Because I heard my dad every single night, every single time, say the same thing over and over again. And it's my choice. Did that impact me? I don't know. Help me, Jesus. I got a lot of sleep. Amen. And I love to sleep now. My son once asked the same question that so many have probably asked throughout history. Why doesn't God just make everyone serve him? Eliminate sin. Make it mandatory. And everyone's life would be great. Why does he allow that? Well, free will is a challenging concept to teach a kid. But that's what it is. Love is not love if it's mandated. Giving of oneself in service to another is not giving if it's mandated. And so God has given us free will to decide. We have choice. And so the choice is ours. We choose who authors our lives. It really can be anything or anyone. We can choose to author it ourselves, make decisions on our own, and live life based on our own judgment. The season we're in highlights that we can allow politicians or lawmakers or those in power to write our lives for us. They write in the hope of the future or the fear of the other one leading, and creates just a whole mental mess for us. Because who do we trust? I'm going to trust them. I'm going to trust them. They've got the best economic plan. Man, I sometimes think about folks just complaining about this or that and this or that. It's like, my goodness. Think about the Bible, the Roman Empire. The cross wasn't the only crucifixion that ever happened in the Roman Empire. There was roads lined with crosses all the way into the city. And we worry about... I get it. I'm not minimizing, but like sometimes we need to get things in perspective and not let that author whether we have fear or peace. Because let me tell you, it's not going to bring peace letting that environment author. We can give books and literature authorship in our lives, basing every decision on what another individual has written about a particular topic. Voices in culture, entertainers, movie stars, professional athletes, educators, social pressures, our friends, our parents. Who's the author? I tell you, young people raised in church, thank God for our parents. But they can't be the author of your life. Now, they shape it. They mold it. But you make the choices. If you choose to worship and praise the Lord and decide that, that's on you. They can't force you. Because let me tell you, I've been there. I was raised in church, and it's easy to, like, I know the drill. Everyone thinks I'm good. I'm a happy person. I got some folks with personality plus. You got to be careful of what's authoring your life, because you can hide a lot of things with personality plus. Me, I'm a melancholy, natural more on the introvert. I get tired of people, but then I got to have people around, so it's a weird mix. But, like, I can't hide a thing. It's frustrating when I'm trying to surprise my wife, like, on her birthday. Like, I can't. She's like, oh, we're going there. I'm like, oh, might as well not even do anything anymore, you know? Like, and my mood and my everything. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to stop. Don't worry. I got her lately. I forget what it was, but I did get her recently. There may be some, anyways, we repent, let's just say that. We repent after the white lies. No, just okay. But you got to be careful of personality. Those with personality plus, because you can hide stuff. I'm good. Praise God, I'm good. And so young people, you've got to choose who's your author. Because what happens if it's generation to generation to generation? If you're third, fourth generation, I think I'm one, two, three, I think I'm fourth generation. It's very easy to slip into tradition, and it's just what we do. This is all we do. I lived in Europe. Let me tell you, tradition of hundreds and hundreds of years results in cathedrals that are massive and huge. Cologne Cathedral, beautiful slash ugly cathedral, because it's like Gothic and stuff like that, but it's massive and huge, took hundreds of years to build, and yet you go there, and it's open, and what is it? There's no worship service. There's no presence of the Lord like we felt today. And what is that? That's people saying, I do this because my parents do this. I do this because my grandparents do this. And why do you go to church? Well, because we've always done it. And so young people especially, I want to encourage you, make him the author. Don't do this because your parents do it. Now, you have to. Like my kids, I don't want to go to church. Well, you're in my house, so go rent a place, and then you can decide not to go. So, yeah, there's an element. Again, we have that element. We can't write our story, but will you engage here is what I'm saying. Will you engage as a young adult? Same thing. You could be here 40 years, and just this is what I've always done. Amen. So who's the author? At Calvary Gospel, we would most certainly suggest or posit that Jesus should be the author of our lives. He created us. He knows everything about us. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the creator of the universe. He knows every hair on our heads. He should be the author. Last week, Pastor Jessica spoke on the subject, Jesus is greater. And today, we proclaim as such. We say that he can do all things. We praise and worship for him. We sang the song, the one we just sang. I wrote down the words to the last song, which ended up not being sung. So I can't even think. But that song was, there was a chorus, I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you. Yes, Jesus is greater. But have we allowed him to be greater in our lives? Or are we just singing about the greatness of God? Because we know, we have knowledge, we've read scripture and it says it, or we come into this place, we feel his presence. Yes, God is greater, God is greater. But yet, we're not letting him be the author. Are we letting him be the author? We can worship and sing the songs, but are we letting him write our story? Or is he just a character in the story that we're writing? Is he just in the chapter called How I Spend My Sundays? The chapter that describes what we do on Sunday, and one of those things that can acknowledge the existence of Jesus and his greatness. Who's the author of our lives? Is it Jesus? The challenge is that a life authored by Jesus requires something of us. First, it requires trust. I can't forget the chapter in my family's life called Barrenness and Silence. It's really a short chapter, yet one that lasted many years. I've talked about this many times. It goes like this. Fiona and I found out we couldn't have kids. We decided to trust in God. So we cried out to him, and he was silent. Many, many months went by, years, and our cries to heaven went unanswered. There was silence. Throughout the heartache and pain of our earthly desires for a family, we heard nothing, yet we trusted him and waited on him. End of chapter. That was the chapter of Barrenness and Silence. And it required trust. A life authored by Jesus requires trust because sometimes there is waiting. Sometimes there is silence. That's a hard one. It just begins to plague with your mind like, God, I'm asking you. You said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. So, God, I am asking you. And then it just silence. And you're like, okay, well, maybe scripture doesn't really mean what it means. That's where trust comes in. Because he did answer. It just wasn't in our timetable. See, that's where we don't his ways are higher than our ways, and his scripture is true. Sometimes there are steps we must take that don't make sense to us, and we have to lean not to our own understanding. What's that scripture? Proverbs? Let's turn there. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We often stop there, but I love the next few verses. What does trust look like? Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength in your bones. We have to trust with our minds. When our minds say, maybe it doesn't mean that, we have to stand on the word. We have to worship the Lord with our heart, soul, and mind. And so we have to say, no, I will trust in the Lord with my mind. So keeping on, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Trust him with our livelihood. Trust him in giving. Trust him with everything that we have, how we live. Continuing on, Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Oh, I don't like this one. Nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. We have to trust his correction. God may say, wrong way, Bad attitude. Yeah, don't like that. Change your ways. And it's like, oh, man, we can't do our own thing. Yeah, no, you can. Just take the pen back. Take the pen back. God's like, here's the pen. But if we want him to author our lives, it may be, watch yourself. And why? Because he loves us. He loves us enough to correct us. It's like kids riding bikes, like, go in the street, have fun. No, it's like when you get to the corner, stop and look both ways, Mr. Malachi. He's learning small loop around or in front of our house. And for the most part, he does it. Why? Because I love him. And I don't want a car to hit him and take him out. I can't afford a funeral. No. I would not love him if I said, go for it. They'll stop. And that's where God is. We have to trust him and say, God, if there's anything within me, God, you truly worship him. You truly want him to be glorified in your life. Some of that's going to be a little correction. I want you to be glorified. Don't do that. Well, not that much, God. Maybe a little less. A life authored by Jesus requires trust. A life authored by Jesus also required submission. Ooh. That free will we talked about. A life authored by Jesus says, Lord, I take the choice that you've given me and choose to give up that choice to author my life and let you map out my way. Jesus was the ultimate example of this. In Luke 22:42, says, what did Jesus say in the garden before he was arrested and ultimately crucified? Not my will, but yours be done. Our heart's cry must be like David in Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. What a word, delight. I'm happy about it. I'm pumped about it. I delight to do your will, O God. When we delight in God's will and not our own, we give permission for the story that he authors to go in any direction, wherever you take me, whatever you ask of me, whatever direction you lead, that's delight. And I think that's a challenge to say, I was raised in church. I was a missionary kid. And so true submission to the will of God is a fear in my life, has been, because what does that mean? I'm destined to be a missionary, and I don't want to go overseas. That's what I thought as a kid. And so I struggled to say, whatever you want, because I don't want to be called to Africa, Lord. I don't want to be called to back to Europe, God. I've seen too many missionary kids go back, and I don't want to do that. I had a really mental block. Probably still do. Pray for me. But isn't it the truth? If I give up that means I have to give up stuff. And we don't worship the Lord in our mind. We start rationalizing, well, then I have to give up this and give up that and give up that. Then I have to this. And then, like, no, submission is, God, whatever you want, I delight in it. It's a powerful place to be because it may be completely different than what we had imagined our lives to be. And for some, that strikes fear. The adventurers are like, yeah, bring it on, whatever you want, God. Send me overseas. I'll think about it later, all the intricacies and all the, like, you know, detailed process. People are like, well, that means I got to do this and raise money. And then and it's like, I don't want to deputize. I don't want to travel, you know. But he'll take you. And please, it doesn't mean you're going to be a missionary if you submit your will to God. But you might say, yeah. You might have, been in the back of your mind, been feeling called to minister to children on Sunday mornings. It's not babysitting over there. It's ministry. And God's might have been plugging away at your heart. And you're like, well, I don't want to submit. I can't handle 2- and 3-year-olds. And God's like, I'm not saying 2- and 3-year-olds. I'm saying, like, the, you know, 6- through 11-year-olds. Come on. And you're like, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. And maybe that's the fear. If I give up, give of my own choices and let him author. He may take me into a path I don't. We always think the worst. But maybe he said, like, you're a brainiac and you're a process guy. I want to take you to a process-oriented position, but you won't submit to me, so you can't do what you love in the kingdom of God because you are not even open to it. You never know. What if? We always say, what if this? We had early on in our marriage, it was like, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? And we got to a place that's like, well, what if God has something good? And what if God has something awesome? And so, like, let's stop thinking the what if in a negative way, but what if God has amazing abundance for my life if I would just submit? In our family story, the chapter after barrenness and silence is probably titled, The Family I Would Have Never Put Together. We had been resolute in not doing anything until we heard from the Lord. One random Sunday, God said, go down the adoption path. Who knew that God would take a Greek, German, supposedly English guy, according to my dad's ancestry, adventure he's on, related to some king, related to the original printer of the King James Version, no lie, his son who got arrested because he printed it wrong, forgot, thou shalt not commit adultery, and he printed, thou shalt commit adultery. It's called the Devil's Bible. I'm related to that guy. Yeah, that's me, supposedly. Anyways, take that kind of weirdo, connect him with a half-Hispanic girl who you never think is Hispanic because of the shade of her skin, her biological father who's white, white, white. A son with Pacific Islander heritage. We just talked about that the other day, and we're all pumped to find one day to find out the actual island so we can go there. We were looking up, anyways, Pacific Islander stuff. And then a son with African American heritage. And that chapter could also be labeled, We Submitted to God's Will. Would I have chosen how the family chapter would have been written? Absolutely not. We had our plans. We had our story written out in our minds. Fiona will graduate, then we will have children. But I think God knew that in this area, we actually would let him author this chapter. And so he allowed the barrenness. Why? Because he knew there was two boys whose birth moms would make the incredible hard, incredible difficult choice to say, I give them over, I hand them over. And he knew that Phil needed two challenging boys and wonderful boys in my life who are phenomenal. And sure enough, we put the pen down and ultimately delighted to do the will of God. And I'm amazed looking at what God has done. These boys are phenomenal. I've always wondered what a biological kid of mine would look like. It's probably God's grace that it hasn't happened. That's one ugly kid, Phil. Our plans, our vision for our lives, our ministries, our goals, our aspirations, got to be submitted to him. A life authored by Jesus requires submission. So here we are today. Our stories are being actively written, and the pertinent question is, who's the author? Who's the author? We're all in different chapters. Some, like our high school seniors, are starting new chapters. Others have been in the same chapter for a while. There are those today in the chapter called loss. Sister Audrey, Lori, Thompson family, Wittenbach family, Puckett family. Even back to Robin Frank. Sister Claudia and I were talking the other day, other service, and she mentioned her brave Sister Robin called her. Brother Russell is no longer with us. I miss him. I miss his encouragement in the ministry. I miss Stephanie. I miss James Hawk, who little Malachi would just look up at in amazement. Like, I mean, literally, it was like. In the chapter titled Loss, is Jesus the author? Are we casting our grief, our pain, our, let's be real, our confusion, our frustration, our questions, are we casting that on him? Are we trusting him and delighting in his will? In loss? Delight? Or are we holding on to the pen and trying to author that chapter on our own? High school seniors, I could only think of Olivia, Kate. Hopefully there's probably others. Sorry if I missed you. New adventures might be the chapter you're about to start. Is Jesus the author? Or will an educator begin their authorship in your life, trumping everything that you've known so far? We have some who recently opened up a chapter called disease. Who's the author? The medical report? How you feel? The treatments? Or is it Jesus? Again, authorship requires trust, submission. I delight to do your will. There are some in all stages of a life. Who's the author of your current chapter? Well, I've been living for the Lord for 40, 50 years, and you have a chapter being written right now. Are you letting the Lord author your chapter? Oh, I forgot to do it. I had this thought early on. Sister Eileen Manley, I've mentioned this many times. Preach once about this and just, I don't even know what I said, but I made the encouragement. And if all you can do is write cards. I love getting the cards. And then next week, I scan all my cards, save them, and I was gonna look it up and read it, and I forgot to do so. But she wrote me a card and said, I was getting really frustrated because I couldn't do what I used to do, something along these lines. And you really challenged me, so here's your card. And I want to encourage you, that really ministered to me, something along those lines. That's putting the pen in God's hand and saying, God, what can I do? I don't have the energy anymore. Or as a kid, those 8-year-olds, are you letting God author your life? I want to encourage you. What can I do, God? What does it look like in my life, God? As a young person, a young adult, in college, young families, old families, etc. And finally, there's some in a chapter labeled, It's Time to Decide, if you would stand with me. Joel 3:14 says, Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The book of Joshua chapter 24 came one of the most iconic statements. Joshua 24:14, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you decided to follow Jesus this morning? There were some folks in the book of Acts who hadn't made that decision. They actually were in the crowd calling for the crucifixion of Jesus. But on the day of Pentecost, after the initial 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. After that, Peter gets up, preaches Jesus, and some folks decided to let Jesus become the author of their lives. Acts 2:37-38. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we have to do now? Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some here today have not decided to give the authorship of their lives over to Jesus. And I believe in just a few moments that chapter will conclude in a decision to follow him, and a new chapter will begin titled My New Life. Some here are in a chapter that you've held. Maybe it's been years that he's been authoring your life, but this certain chapter, you've just taken the pen back. You haven't let him author the direction. Hallelujah. The beautiful thing is that Hebrews 12:2 says, we look unto Jesus, the author of our faith. No, the author and finisher. Jesus is the finisher. One sweet day, all pain will be gone. It's already mentioned. One sweet day, we'll know him as the finisher of our faith. As he says, welcome, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into kingdom of the Lord. Hallelujah. But he can't be the finisher if he's not the author. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to let him be the author of your life. We have a custom here at Calvary Gospel that people come forward to respond. We want to give people a chance to respond to the word of the Lord. If you're in the chapter of disease, if you're in the chapter of physical ailment, why don't you just submit to his will? The Bible says to have the elders come and anoint you with oil, prayer the prayer of faith. And I'm believing that there will be a healing in this place as we submit ourselves to God. And so on this side of the altar up here, encourage you folks to come. And if Brother Glenn could come, Brother Jerry, get ready for folks to come for that. If you have a chapter in your life that you just haven't been willing to give, you've given a lot, you've trusted God in a whole lot of areas, but there's one chapter that, yeah, no, I want to encourage you to come over to this side and recommit to his authorship in your life. And then if you need an infilling of his Holy Spirit, if you want to be baptized in his Jesus' name, if you've never allowed him to be the author of your life, right here in the middle, I encourage you to come and pray. And there'll be folks to pray with you. Amen. Pray for you. Amen. As we begin to sing, won't we come in this time? Let him be the author. Let him be the author of your life. Won't you come at this time?
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you. Thank you.
Be the author of your life. Amen. Amen. We're looking forward to a great summer fun fest next Sunday. As you head straight out, grab some cards, invitation cards on the way, and pass them out this week. Invite someone to summer fun fest, and amen. Amen. They will be blessed, and we're going to have a great time. Have a wonderful, blessed week. God bless you.